ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
The Beast, the Man.
You gotta beat the Man.
Whoa. It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, it's got about time.
Hey, this is not a mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcicki, is it? It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God.
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
Welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the folks at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Our 800 number always is 877-588-9876. Option 1. I believe I got the number right. It's been a while. No, it's 877-588-9877, option 1. You can also Skype Sir Rockin if you join us tonight here on the program. During the 10 o'clock hour, the current NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion and Pro Wrestling Fusion star Craig Classic will join us. Craig also works for Big Japan Pro Wrestling, so we will get some insights onto what it's like to train in the Japanese dojos, which, from having met Craig a few times, it's an interesting experience, painful as well. We will get into all the fun that is TNA wrestling. We will get into some indie stuff. We will talk old school Monday Night Raw and some interesting news to come out involving the Hall of Fame, people that may or may not be up for the Hall of Fame. And the music tonight, since last night Raw was old school 80s night, I decided to bring out one of my favorite bands of the 80s, and they actually got their start in the 70s. Residents of Philadelphia should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, should be in every Hall of Fame, because they are the greatest selling duo in music history. Damn right. If you get a chance, go to HallandOates.com. You can get info on their latest album, their tour, and a really cool internet program called Live at Daryl's House, which is phenomenal to watch. It's basically a concert in Daryl Hall's house in upstate New York. And if you get the chance, check that out. We are joined tonight by the gentlemen who work upon Wrestle Talk Radio and also Otaku Talk Live. And also one of them has a really cool podcast called Bashing the Books. Mace and Spug are joining us. Thank you both for being here, gentlemen.
You're welcome. And I have to gripe about something real quick.
Uh-oh.
I do. I have to gripe.
What's going to happen to you about your team losing with 5 seconds left on the clock?
There was 16 seconds left, and all I have to say
is,
why can't Eric Wright cover a simple, simple screen pass? You had him at the five-yard buffer. All you had to do was wrap and tackle. Got game over. Tie. I could have dealt with that. Could have dealt with it. But no!
Yeah, unfortunately, just went in overtime, 26-20, and I'm happy to be 7-2.
Yeah, don't act like that game came easy.
Oh, it didn't. Come on, it's the same guys that barely beat the Detroit Lions a couple weeks back, though.
Because
I'm not.
Talking to a bunch of, I'm an admin in an NFL chat room on Palfuck, and talking to a bunch of Jet fans after that game, they are scared to death of the Cleveland Browns.
Scared to death of anybody that's on a football field opposite us, but as Jersey Girl said in our chat room, could have been worse, could have been last night's Monday night game, which
I
made people...
I can
deal with that. Ooh, yeah, that
feel... Yeah, that was a horrific beatdown by the Eagles on the Skins, but I can deal with that. Knowing that that game is so far out of reach, there's no chance that you had to come back. You know, I could deal with a loss like that. Sitting there, I needed 3 shots of Jaeger after that game was over to get my hands from stop from shaking. Because,
yeah,
I mean, it was a great game. I'm not going to take away from the game. It was an awesome game. I loved every minute of it. Every minute of it. And I have a new man crush.
Oh, no. Who's your man crush? Well, Triple H is busy. I was surprised he wasn't on Old School Raw last night, but we'll touch on that in a minute. Who's the man crush?
Oh, if I could, I would have Colt McCoy's babies.
Whoa, I know.
I would. Oh, if I could, I would have Colt McCoy's babies. That dude is pure awesomeness.
Well, he is your future, your franchise.
But congratulations to your Jets. I hope you lose every game on the rest of your schedule and go 7-9.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a surprise, depending week to week. And it seems like week to week, Monday Night Raw, it's, yay, I'm watching Raw. And then another week, you're sitting there going, oh, God, why am I watching Raw? 3-hour Old School Raw from Hershey last night for fans who didn't see it. Lots of highs, lots of lows, and then Mae Young making all of us go, oh my God.
Mae Young.
The comments that were made on live television, I'm sure, had the FCC and Vince sitting backstage with the Jaeger going, no, this is really happening, Kling.
No, from the reports, Vince was actually sitting backstage having a good chuckle at it.
What,
37 years old? Are you really going to fire her?
I don't know, fire her, but I'm just going to be like, whoa, you can't be calling Lay Cool with a real, well, wait, you should call Lay Cool first. We can say that here, but hey.
Okay, wait, hold on. So let me get this straight. Mae Young, who is a Hall of Famer, who has been in the ring longer than any of us have been alive.
Pretty much.
Combined. Who has done more for women's wrestling and wrestling in general than any of us have ever done, and has pretty much been, you know, it sounds weird to say it, but has been a face in a way of the WWE from time to time. At certain points in the past 15 years. Someone who is 87 years old and has all of those accolades behind her, she can't say what she said last night? I think she's kind of earned the right to.
With kids watching? Sure. The last thing I want to do is turn to my 8-year-old or your child and go, so, you want to know what a slut is? All right, have a seat here on the couch. I mean, it's nothing different than what we saw in the late 90s during the Russo Ferrara, Jerry Springer-like writing of the company, so... Just a little weird.
It's not as bad as turning on a pay-per-view and seeing Sable there with 2 handprints over her nipples.
Or Stacey Carter completely out to the world.
Exactly. I would rather have to explain. And explaining what a slut is isn't that hard. All you do is pick up a picture of Lita and, you know, point.
Right, we'll save that for Sundays. Omega's not here to whip out his. Omega's not here to whip out the Lita dialogues. Very big surprise, as mentioned, no Triple H last night. No Shawn Michaels. I guess Triple H not, because Triple H really started with the company in 94, 95, I think. So 96. I understand that. It was around WrestleMania in L.A., wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was 95, because he was on SummerSlam 95. He wrestled, I'm blanking. I can't remember. He wrestled
Warrior at WrestleMania 12.
That's right, and he called it the worst experience of his life. No Warrior last night, no Vince McMahon, which a few people thought may have happened, especially when Michael Cole and Jim Ross were wearing the old-school Vince McMahon god-awful jackets. Very interesting to see folks like Iron Sheik, Nikolai Volkov, Superfly Jimmy Snuka was there, Cowboy Bob Orton, the legend of Mean Gene Okerlund, Tony Atlas, Howard Finkel taking over, a former guest of ours here a few weeks ago, Harvey Whippleman being there with the Brooklyn Brawler, who got a Jerry Lawler got a nice cheap shot in on the Red Rooster, who's the head of talent relations for TNA right now, Terry Taylor. We had, of course, Piper's Pit, which was very well done towards the end of the show. George Animal Steel, Arn Anderson, Gerald Briscoe, IRS, Million Dollar Man, Tonka, Chavo Classic, which that was another interesting moment, and I'm going to let you guys talk about your favorite moments of the night, but the interesting moment for me was Alberto Del Rio seemingly being embraced by two legends of the business, and Tito Santana and Chavo Senior or Chavo Classic, whoever you want to call him. That and the Piper's Pit segment were my two favorite parts of the evening, besides some very interesting matchups. To Mace, favorite part of the three-hour Raw and favorite match of the night?
Oh, there's many, many favorite parts of the night, that's for sure. Let's start with the 3 seconds that I wish I could have been in Jerry Lawler's boots where he pretended to choke out Michael Cole. And then later on the night, we had the greatest commentator of all time, Jim Ross, come out and completely no-sell Michael Cole for the best 15 minutes of the show, and then beat the crap out of him with a hat.
Hat now available on eBay, I'm sure.
Oh, no, you know JR keeps his hats. That boy loves his hats.
JNRBarbecue.com.
Yeah, well, he may just put the plug in and keep doing play-by-play. That's the mark of a professional.
Him should take lessons.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Sure. Oh, I'm sure there were some of us that were sitting there with the pad and pen going, let me get this right. He's here. That schmuck is too. Oh, God. We'll get to Cole and Ross in a minute, but go ahead and finish your point, sir.
Another good moment had to be the segment with what's her name, Asanka or Ayanka or whatever her name
Oksana.
Is. Oksana. Yeah, the one, yeah, that one. Getting caught in the net and then dancing in the damn thing later on in the sketch. And Dusty gets line of the night where he just looks and goes, I raised some weird kids. sorry for that, I had me laughing. That entire night was, By the end of it, it was a great throwback because for the main event, you had King and JR back on the desk. You had the Fink doing the ring announcing. The look was so gloriously old school. It was awesome. I felt like I was a kid again watching wrestling.
And an interesting matchup of Daniel Bryan and Jack Swagger, which I just kind of sat there just going, wow, I'm not so worried about the future of this company when you see two guys like that who, it's weird to see Swagger with the world belt, now Swagger without it. Doesn't look like there's that much weight on his shoulders anymore, Spug. Could you agree with that or disagree with that point?
I don't know if it really, I don't think there's really any weight on his shoulders to begin with, though. I don't. He did fine as champion. I wish they would have kept it on him longer. But I like Swagger, so I guess I'm a bit biased in that going, he did fine for me. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, favorite moment of the evening for you, with that, especially with all the legends that came out
George
there.
George the Animal Steel.
And David Otunga just looking going, huh?
George the Animal Steel, because, and my wife didn't realize just who George the Animal Steel was, and I said, did he take his shirt off? Was he wearing the old black tights? And she goes, no, he wasn't. And I went, no, damn. She goes, why? And we have a friend, we nicknamed him Fish because when he drinks, he can drink like one. And Fish is extremely hairy, like extremely hairy. And I asked her, I said, is he, you know, I'm like, but Georgie Animal Steel is like 5 times hairier than Fish. And I said, the one time I remember Georgie Animal Steel was him and Randy Savage were feuding. And he came out, ripped the turnbuckle apart, middle of Savage's match. And Savage didn't quite know what to make of it. And then he picked up Elizabeth like King Kong does the little blonde in the movie and runs off with her. And I'm like, you don't understand how great George Animal Steel was, because nobody, like, he was just crazy. Everybody loved him. I loved to see George Animal Steel last night. I marked so hard for George.
Yeah. Was there anyone that wasn't on the show to either one of you that you would have liked to have seen? We know Honky Tonk Man came out on his Facebook and other avenues of social networking and said, nope, not interested, they're not going to pay me enough. To either one of you, I guess Bugs and Chew talking to head again, anyone of the old school early 90s era of Raw or 80s that you would have said, where were they, man? I wanted that person.
I would have, as much as we were told that it wasn't ever going to happen, and I get it, I would have liked to have seen Shawn Michaels.
To you, man, anyone in particular?
But besides our favorite face paint wearing pizza delivery guy, I would have loved to have seen Macho Man, even if it was just a quick 2 minute thing backstage.
Him too. I'd have loved to have seen Mach too. Mach would have been good.
Yeah, there were a few that I definitely think all of us would have liked to have seen. I think Vince being out there, maybe do commentary old school at one point. It was fun to see Justin Roberts dressed up with the 80s outfit and Mike Chioda wearing the wig and the old ties and the superstar interview, wrestling challenge interview set up for me and Gene, bringing that back too was interesting.
And don't forget Lord Alfred Hayes doing the sponsors ads.
Wait, hold on. I didn't watch all the show. Because, Mace, you'll appreciate this. I had a raid last night, and by the way, we got Heroic Kingslayer.
I hate you.
But I was at the local sports bar raiding because I wanted to be away from my family. And I had a Monday night game on, and I'm occasionally glimpsing at Raw, and we're watching and doing the raid. I didn't know that Lord Alfred Hayes was there. Now this makes me sad because I really liked Lord Alfred Hayes.
A little hard for him to be there. He died years ago. Me and Gene Okerlund was there.
Yeah. The thing with the Lord Alfred Hayes bits, it was, what was it? The commercial presentation is brought to you by, and then they had a really, really good impressionist do the rest.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, I didn't know he died, okay?
Yep, he had passed away many years ago. Okerlund looked shaky. I believe he's got... I'm not sure if he's got Parkinson's or I mean, he was just very nervous because his hand was trembling during his promo. But there apparently notes came out of the show that a lot of the talent loved having all the veterans there. Speaking of people that weren't there, who wasn't a part of the old school Monday Night Raw, Chris Jericho chimed in through Twitter, I believe the proper pronunciation of it, and he said the difference between Jim Ross and Michael Cole is the difference between Paul Newman and Pauly Shore. I will leave that open to interpretation. Very, very good one there. And of anybody that was on, anybody that just, apparently Iron Sheik tried to go into business for himself from friends that were in Hershey, that he decided he was going to rip on Hulk Hogan during his promo, and they actually cut his microphone when they brought the Usos out, and Santino and Kozlov came out as well. Obviously, we will not be seeing Vladimir Kozlov on Russian Idol or American Idol in the near future.
Oh, but come on, how much of a moment would that have been for him? You know, Kozlov and Nikolai Volkov doing the Russian national anthem together, that would have made that guy's lifetime.
There is a girl
Shiki, yeah, they did cut him off. You sort of noticed it on the broadcast as well. Poor bugger, he needed his medicine.
Go to kayfabecommentaries.com. Their next U shoot is set to be with the Iron Sheik. You can go there and submit your questions there.
I can't watch him.
Can't watch him just because of what is it? The medicine thing, or what is it?
I can't understand a damn word that man says. I can't watch it.
Maybe they'll be subtitling along with it. Jersey Girl in our chat room says she would like to have seen either Alundra Blaze or Sunny. I do know Tammy Sitch will be involved in a meet and greet in the Miami area, thanks to our friend Howard Brody. He does a monthly meet and greet with WWE legends. And you can look up Howard Brody on his Facebook page and you get all the information to that event. Out of this show last night and on the way, probably a little bit more will come out of it to, I'm not even sure who is that. Slick is my best manager, like my agent.
That's Sneaky Baby.
Megan, he knows Hulk Hogan, POS, no good MFR, F the Santino 2. Thank you, Iron Sheik. No more twit for you, my friend. Tonight there will be a taping of Friday Night SmackDown, which possibly will set up some more stuff for Survivor Series, which is this Sunday. And after that event, you can come back to this network, Wild Talk Radio, for a post-show wrap brought to you by Russell Talk Radio with the Spud Guy, the Mace, the end-all, be-all, the Omega, possibly Will, the man himself, Tim Stein, and if I'm allowed to, I will be part of that event as well. This is the card as we speak. Now, some of this may change, some of this may not. Not 100% sure some of this was announced. Obviously, everybody knows Randy Orton, Wade Barrett, I Win the Belt or You're Fired, with John Cena, Kane versus Edge for the world title. For the third month in a row, we get the Divas Champions, Lay Cool taking on Natty Neidhart. Nothing set yet, I believe, for Dolph Ziggler. Sir Rock and our producer may correct me on that. Judging from last night's Raw, it looks like we're probably going to get Daniel Bryan versus Ted DiBiase Jr. on the show. I don't know if it's 100% announced yet. This one was announced, the World Tag Team Champions. Weird to say that. Heath Slater, Justin Gabriel taking on Santino Marella and Vladimir Kozlov. The feud of John Morrison and Sheamus takes a step to Survivor Series. And a traditional Survivor Series match with Alberto Del Rio, Tyler Rex, Cody Rhodes, Drew McIntyre, and the All-American American Jack Swagger, taking on Rey Mysterio, Big Show, MVP, The Masterpiece, Chris Masters, and Kofi Kingston. Of the matches mentioned to Mason the Spug, show stealer of the night, and the one that you're sitting there going, wow, this is a great time to go to get some popcorn or visit the t-shirt vendors.
Show Steel is going to be Sheamus versus John Morrison, as it's pretty much one of the only matches that we haven't really seen and we actually care about. The one to go and visit the t-shirt vendor or go and empty your bladder, as it is, will be the Survivor Series elimination match with which Omega coined last night the Who's Who of Who Cares.
Ooh. Interesting.
Well, come on. It's Chris Masters has his first pay-per-view match in how long?
I can't even. I didn't even know the guy was working for the company. Let's put it that way. I feel bad for. I feel bad. Hey, for MVP, Big Show, Kofi, Swagger, Judy and Co., Cody, it's a payday. That's how I got to look at it. So this Spud Guy, match that you're running to the bar going, fill me up, and match that you're sitting there going, this is awesome.
No, I'm looking forward to the main event of Barrett versus Orton.
Okay, well, if you're a betting man, who walks out with this? Which storyline in your mind is the better one? Barrett as the champion or John Cena, quote-unquote, fired?
The man who walks out with the belt will not have walked in to Survivor Series with either, with any belt.
Very cryptic. So you're saying that Cena walks out champ possibly, or are we counting on The Miz possibly being involved?
Miz is going to walk out with a belt.
So we definitely think it's Money in the Bank cash-in night. Unless something's changed, I don't believe he's on this pay-per-view at all.
You can't... Here's the thing. With the way that they have this storyline set up, they have themselves hemmed in. They can't... They logistically cannot, you know... If you put Barrett on the, you put the title on Barrett, Barrett's not ready. We all will agree that Barrett's not ready, and I'm sure people that, talent evaluators and whatnot in the WWE will agree. He's not ready yet. He's close, but he's not ready. It would be a horrific decision to put it on him now. On the other hand, you can't let your main asset of your company go by the wayside. You can't shove him on SmackDown because that's what they would do. So, you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. Now, you've got the guy who you think is going to be your next guy in The Miz, in the wings. Why not put the belt on him and see what he can do and let him run with it?
Let him run. Maybe it'll survive. Royal Rumble. Yeah, that's the pay-per-view.
Quite possibly. You could let him run to Royal Rumble, and if Barrett's ready by then, you put it on Barrett at the Rumble, and then you're set up for, say, Cena Barrett or Taker Barrett at Mania.
That's an interesting viewpoint there. If you're a betting man, Mace, do you concur with this formula that Mace is, that the Spud guy is shopping, or do you have a differing view?
I believe it was sort of a consensus between myself, Spud, and Omega that the whole idea of putting The Miz into the point where he can get the title just to save us from horrid storylines is pretty much what we all said, yeah, this works, let's run with that. I've got a really bad feeling they're going to go with the stupidest outcome and put the belt on Barrett just so they can have Cena versus Barrett from next month through till Royal Rumble.
Well, we will find out. The Rumble is January 30th in Boston at the TD Garden. We will take our first time out. Coming up after the break, we will discuss Triple H and Shawn Michaels' recent views on the WWE Hall of Fame. The UFC gentleman by the name of Roy Nelson getting into the Brock Lesnar-Undertaker mix. And we'll take a peek at a DVD that will be coming to a store near you called the WWE Top 50 Superstars of All Time. We'll talk on the other side of the break. All Out World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back. Hall & Oates tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, with the advent of geek culture becoming mainstream, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are doing our best to capitalize on this phenomenon. In that vein, I, Mace, a co-host of Otaku Talk Live, have decided to move a small section of what we would talk about on OTL to its very own podcast. That podcast being Fashion the Book. Now, what you will hear on there is myself going through select readings of this week's comic book, and I just let you know what's going on. So, every Thursday, maybe Friday, maybe Saturday, you'll be able to hear me talk about comic books. Okay, maybe boring, maybe not. Who knows? The only way you're going to find out is to go over to the archives section of wildtalkradio.com and download the show and have a listen for yourself. That's Bashing the Books, somewhere near the end of the week, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
Consider the professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indies, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're upset whenever they wrestle, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Big Vicious,
Nick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive sports for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christine Page, Brett
Derry. Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemming.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday. Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Pilgrim, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith.
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site that throws you online world of wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Ever wanted to know what is really going on through the mind of pro wrestlers? Well, now you can with WrestleBook. It's the only place where you can find out what some of the biggest names in the business were thinking about during pro wrestling's biggest moments. Just imagine if Facebook existed from the beginning. Want to know more? Then log on to www.wildtalkradio.com/WrestleBook. For an inside look into pro wrestling history, the only place to go is WrestleBook.
This is Godfather of Extreme, Rob Park. In every Saturday, midnight-ish, for DB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the folks at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Also, Click Wrestle is our on-demand site where you can get some of the great, latest and greatest matches from all around the world. And you can find our podcast of this and each and every show that I've been a part of, and Spug and Mace, and all the wonderful guests we've had in the last few months here. We're also on iTunes if you do the iPod situation. Hall & Oates night here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. This past Saturday they had a VH1 Behind the Music remastered on VH1 Classic, which this week's Duran Duran, also going to be cool. And it was neat to see Hall & Oates all these years later still going. Mentioned at the top before we went to the break of a UFC fighter who chimed in on Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker, which, as we found out, Dana White said, not going to happen. I don't believe it. I think it's still coming, but that I'm not sure. UFC fighter Roy Nelson did an interview with BloodyElbow.com. Interesting name for a website. He said this week that he is looking to fight either Brock Lesnar or WWE superstar and soon-to-be Hall of Famer, I'm sure, The Undertaker, if given the chance. Quote, I think it's great that Brock wants to fight me. It would be a great matchup, and I believe the fans want to see it, so let's make it happen. I don't care if it's in the UFC or the WWE. Let's just get down to it. He also added, if Brock still doesn't want to fight me, here, there, anywhere, I guess I'll take on The Undertaker, because I'm sure he'd be happy to fight me. We can do Hell in a Cell, or we can even do a complete throwback and sign a Lion's Den match like Ken Shamrock. I can get paid to act. Interesting words from this gentleman, and we turn to Mr. UFC himself. He is a fan of it and probably will be watching this Saturday, I believe, is another UFC extravaganza on pay-per-view. Chime us in exactly who Roy Nelson is, Bug. Apparently, his nickname is Big Country.
He's big. He's a big fatty. He's a tubalard. Roy Big
Like
Country.
Husky Harris heavy or Butterbean
yeah.
heavy?
In between.
Ooh.
It's not that it's fat, though. It's all muscle. He's just got a big old Buddha belly. Big Country Nelson won the last edition of Tough Enough, or not Tough Enough, but The Ultimate Fighter, with when Kimbo Slice was on.
Ah.
So, that is who Roy Big Country Nelson is. And quite honestly, I hope he shuts his mouth.
Yeah,
a little
on the weird side to say something like that to either one of you. It's a little weird.
It's not that it's weird. Dude, we all know that they act at some point, but they still will whoop the shit out of you. Especially Taker. You don't say that.
Well, Taker did say, Mace, that you know, in his prime, maybe a transition, a one or two-time trip to the Octagon may have been in his future. Is this guy just bucking for publicity in your mind, just reading the quote that he said here, or did this guy possibly suffer some head trauma and saw what happened with Brock and Taker and said, I'm a spotlight stealer?
I'd say more along the lines of the guy's taken one too many punches to the head and he just figures, I'm just going to bash pro wrestling because that'll make me over with the MMA fans.
Yeah, and what is the main event for this weekend? Before you go ahead, what is this week? It is this weekend, correct? Or is it the week? Or is it the Saturday after
Thanksgiving? No, it's this weekend. It's this weekend.
Yeah, what is the main event for fans that don't know it?
It's GSP.
Ah, George St. Pierre. That name I do know.
I think GSP's fighting this weekend against Josh Koscheck. I am not
and
sure.
And he would be one of the Ultimate Fighter gentlemen, if I remember his name correctly. I think he's one of the trainers currently.
GSP is one of the trainers currently.
Oh,
okay. UFC 123, Rampage versus Machida.
Oh, is it Rampage versus Machida? Then the GSP fight is in December.
Interesting. So Rampage off of his... interesting spin on B.A. Baracus in the A-Team film Back in the Octagon. Check your local pay-per-view provider for that one. If you are like the Spud guy, which we didn't get to ask you because you had to leave early last week, did we score WrestleMania tickets? I mean, the proverbial we as a group. Did we get them?
Are you going? We are not going to WrestleMania.
Damn.
We are not.
I apologize.
It is all right. It was a decision that I made.
Okay.
Talking to the wife, I asked her, because I was all excited, because hearing names that were either in or out for the Hall of Fame, and I said, well, you know, if we go, I want to go to the Hall of Fame. I don't care about fan access, but the one thing I want to see is the Hall of Fame.
Mm.
And she said, okay. And we were talking, we went out, we were kid-free last Friday night, we went out to dinner, and we were sitting there talking, And I said, which do you want to do more? Do you want to take a trip with just you and me to Mania this spring? Or do you want to take a family trip? Because we can only afford to do one. And she said, I would rather take a family trip. So as trying to be a responsible adult, I said, okay, and I scrapped the selfish plans for Mania, and we are going to Topsail Island in North Carolina in August.
And Jersey Girl, all of our listeners of all the shows on the network will be going, and she did just clue me into something interesting, that she is a part of a fan package there, that you do get tickets to the event, they do get you a hotel, but you got to get your butt to Atlanta on its own. Little weird there. I brought up WrestleMania for this reason. The Man Crush came out of his cave from Stanford and did an interview. That's right, Triple H and Shawn Michaels were a part of SB Nation Atlanta and did an interview. Did an interview where they were asked about Bill Goldberg possibly being involved in WrestleMania. Now, I'm not going to do impressions. I'm just going to give you what they said. First, Triple H's take, and then Shawn. I said, Bill's trying to get into the Hall of Fame. If there's a rumor about him coming back, he'll probably start it. I have not seen any mention of his name. Shawn Michaels chimed in. You want to move on into the future. It's tough not to go back and get some big-name guys here and there, but I don't know about any of the older WCW guys. It might be good for a one-shot deal, but where do you go from there? As a company trying to move into the future, it'd be like bringing Michael Jordan back. Triple H comes along with, as far as the Hall of Fame goes, it's tough. We have a unique business, and we try to do a legitimate Hall of Fame. We try to honor the guys that deserve it. To the guys that go in, it's something special. I heard Hogan crap on it, but I don't think anything special to him except for the money. Like if you call Michael Jordan and put him in the Basketball Hall of Fame, and he said, all right, but I'm only going to show up if I get to play for the Bulls next year. We get that all the time. We call a guy to honor him in the Hall of Fame, and he goes, yeah, I want to do an angle. I want a one-off. I need $100,000. So when you say, what about Goldberg? No offense to Bill, but you guys like Bruno Sammartino, there were legends with longevity that should be in there, but they're holding out because they think they've got one more run. Just using Bill as an example, how many years did he wrestle? Not many. Shawn ends the segment saying, to me, he's not even in the ballpark. Not because he's not talented, but greatness doesn't happen in a few years. Greatness is established over a long period of time. We try to promote people and get them over, but you can't do it that quickly. In our line of work, there are other qualities that make somebody viable besides just being whether they're tough or not. In any other line of work, like if you're an NFL lineman who can't play, everybody knows you can't play. We brought this up here on this show, and it was brought up on Rough Talk Radio, the idea of the possibility of Bill Goldberg going into a Hall of Fame, but it just seems very awkward to me for a guy whose career didn't even last 10 years. And
is someone murdering turkeys at your house?
That'd be my wife watching the Fox program Raising Hope and not realizing that we're on the radio here with millions of people listening. But they're not showing the proper respect. I apologize. It happens. Welcome to live radio, kids. Already in progress. As I was saying, not a big fan of this idea of Goldberg. It would kind of be like putting Man Mountain Rock in the Hall of Fame. You're just like, okay, cool, dude. Yes, he had the awesomeness of a streak. Yes. If you're going to put somebody in, put in Kevin Sullivan, because he was the guy who booked the streak. And everyone that helped book Bill Goldberg to make him look like the greatest, evilest guy on the planet. I may be right, I may be wrong. That's why this is an open forum for listeners, for co-hosts and contributors as well. So to either one of you gentlemen, the floor is yours. Goldberg Hall of Fame, or do we believe in the Man Crush and the retired one in Bill better not come anywhere near Atlanta, or he may get hurt by Triple H.
I don't think he deserves to be put in, but I don't see what the issue is of maybe having him there. I think that he has done plenty for for wrestling as far as its recognition. I mean, think about it. When you watched wrestling in the 90s, and you tuned into WCW, the one thing you wanted to see was who was next. And so I really don't think there's any harm in at least having him there.
So if Sting's not available, Bill Goldberg goes in?
Oh, Sting will be available. Sting will be there. I don't know how you don't have Sting there.
Well, so it all depends on, as we discussed with Vito DiNucci last week, does Dixie and TNA go, yeah, Hall of Fame, cool, how about you come back one more time? We'll give you a deal here to keep you away from this thing. Mace, thoughts on Goldberg, Hall of Fame, or Pretender to the Throne?
I wouldn't necessarily put him in there right now. Just going by what I'm hearing of these comments, sounds like there's a very big anti-WCW vibe. I think it was Hunter who said, you know, he didn't really care about the WCW guys, which is a big shame, because a lot of the guys went over there and they made their legacy bigger. But, you know, it seems that the only way you're going to get into the Hall of Fame is to have been with the WWE for 10-plus years or something like that, you know, which is going to restrict them after a while, because they've very quickly running out of the old school 80s and 70s guys that they can induct into the Hall of Fame without having RIP next to them. You know, they need to start realizing that wrestling goes beyond the four walls of Connecticut. You know, wrestling isn't the WWE, and they need to friggin' realize this.
Exactly.
There are guys out there that need that could deserve this honor that haven't wrestled for the WWE.
And namely, Sting's got to be the first one to come up in the mind. And many people will tell you that. Scott Hudson will tell you that if you get him on a show, which we're hoping to do again soon, that when the WCW folks came in, some of them were treated like second-class citizens, and it's a shame. This subject was broached on Rough Talk Radio, but not broached on this show, and that's why I felt like throwing this out here. WWE is going to be releasing a Top 50 Superstars of All Time DVD, and the list apparently is sparking debate on message boards, including our OWW Genesis board. Now, the complete list, which was signed off on by Vince McMahon, is as follows. And, yeah, I'm going to barrel through all 50, and I'm not 100% sure. Go ahead.
You don't even need to do the top 50. All you got to do is the top 15. That's all you got to do is the top 15, because there's plenty of argument there.
Okay, well, if this is the correct order, we'll start 15 and we'll work our way to 1. 15 is the late Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig. Then you've got Randy Savage, Gorgeous George, Triple H checking in at 12, the late Eddie Guerrero at 11, Roddy Piper at 10, Rey Mysterio at 9, the legendary Andre the Giant at 8, Ricky Steamboat at 7, Harley Race is 6, The Rock is 5th, Bret the Hitman Hart is 4, Stone Cold Steve Austin is 3, 2 is The Undertaker, and 1 is Shawn Michaels? Now, let's just broach through real quick in the remaining moments here who is on the list. There are many superstars on the list. There are legends. There may be a couple head shakers. I didn't create this. Vinnie Mac and some other folks did. In case you're wondering, fans, yes, Hulk Hogan is on this list. The Immortal Bald Spot is 23. Ric Flair is 17. Okay. Some interesting folks that are on this list include Gorgeous George, as mentioned, the legend of Lou Fez, and former AWA World Champion Nick Bockwinkel, who the three of them never even worked for WWF. Fez and Buddy Rogers' championship match in the early part of the 60s was the reason you even had the Worldwide Wrestling Federation and Capital Sports or whatever split off. Gorilla Monsoon is here. Superstar Billy Graham is here. Pat Patterson is here. Iron Sheik, Teddy DiBiase Sr., Bruno Sammartino is mentioned here, Killer Kowalski, Dory Funk Jr., some interesting stuff here, but in the top 15 that you just heard, I'm guessing you have a major gripe, and other foreign terminologies with this list, so the floor belongs to the gentleman from Cleveland who is not under conviction of many ethics violations like Charles Rangel is. If you don't know who he is, check out USA Today or MSNBC.com.
Bret Hart shouldn't be number four. I will say that. And not because I have a bias against Bret Hart or because I don't like Bret Hart. It has nothing to do with that. You're going to tell me that Bret Hart is a bigger star in the WWE than Macho Man Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan, The Rock, who else is on that list that I saw that I went, why is he above them? You know, Rowdy, you're gonna tell me that Bret the Hitman Hart was a bigger star for WWE than Ric Flair and Rowdy Roddy Piper?
Well, Flair was there how long?
He was there in 91, and he finished out his career there, you know, technically. You're gonna tell me that he was a bigger star than those guys? You're gonna tell me that Bret Hart was a bigger star than Mick Foley? The number one person on that list, even though he's with TNA, should be Hogan, not Shawn Michaels. Hogan should be number one on that list, because without Hogan, Vince McMahon is not a billionaire right now.
Yeah. Now, it's just remember, this is not based on work rate or anything along those lines. To no surprise, I noticed it before I even got a note from one of my friends that read the same list. No Chris Benoit, for obvious reasons. No legends such as Antonino Rocca or former world champion Pedro Morales. Very surprised to see Bruno Sammartino even on this list for all the issues he's had with WWE. Even without even going through all 50 names, is there anyone in the top 15, as Bug said, that you're throwing your challenge flag or raising your hand and going, hey, Vince, were you drinking your Crown Royal in the office again when you made this list? Or are you fine with what you've heard in the top 15?
Oh, I'm not fine with it. Basically, this list is another one of those, you gotta make sure that you are within good standing with the company as opposed to, you know, how you've actually done in the ring or what you've done with the business.
Well, before you go a second, then how does number 45 Jeff Hardy get on the list? Or Mick Foley or Kurt Angle, who works for the company?
He shouldn't be there. He shouldn't be there. Batista shouldn't be there. But they had some decent standing with the company. You got to remember, Jeff Hardy didn't turn around and say, okay, Vince, go stick your company up your butt with a Roto-Rooter and a wife beaver. You know, he bowed out graciously, and Vince has even been open to a return by Jeff Hardy. Same with Batista. You know, so they're within good standings within the company. You know, this list just basically shows that it all depends on how well you are liked by head office, or how much do you think you'd be marketed by. As Spug said, Hulk Hogan should be number one. That was the guy, as much as we like to rag on the immortal bald spot on any show, the guy has done a buttload of stuff for wrestling and getting it into the mainstream culture and everything. To be honest, wrestling today wouldn't be what it is if it didn't have Hulk Hogan in it. So giving him spot number 23 is an insult to not only Hulk Hogan himself, but the wrestling business.
Well, so is putting Superstar Billy Graham at number 38, because if there is no Superstar Billy Graham, there is no Hulk Hogan. Many people will say that to you. Historians like Sheldon Goldberg, who was here last week, will say that to you. The superstar character led to Jesse the Body Ventura, led to Hulk Hogan, led to many others. Same could possibly be said for Bruno Sammartino. Many people aren't privy to have seen any of Sammartino's matches from the late 60s through. I mean, the guy held the championship for 11 years, even though it was a regional championship for Capital Sports or whatever you want to call the Worldwide Wrestling Federation.
Where's Bobo Brazil on that list?
I don't believe Bobo. I think Bobo worked for them to a degree, but not to the degree. See, that's where you end up with this. And as folks on OWW Genesis were chiming off, they were going off on this list, how you have a
coach. It's the Animal Steel.
In the 70s,
he's good enough to put on their old school Raw, but he's not good enough to put on their top 50.
Yeah.
That dude was a character
70s,
and a half.
Yep, 70s, go back and watch George Animal Steel when he was a vicious heel. You can go back and look at that stuff and go, wow.
Where's King Kong Bundy?
Not sure, but Fabulous Moolah, of all lady wrestlers, is in here at number 27. Some of the others highlighted, Randy Orton somehow is in at number 29. Sergeant Slaughter, 42. Former world champion Jack Briscoe, 41. The list will be on there. And as Jersey Girl said before she left, why, I have no idea. Why go watch NXT? Nobody is. We're going to go ahead and take a break here. Coming up on the other side of the break, the current NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion, Craig Classic, will join us here. Hall & Oates Night, Online World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back. Looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown. It's the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forum, OWW Genesis, right now at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
Hey everyone, this is The Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kind of did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday night, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivery pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little mortal warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the 7th Moon of Raxor in the Gaxxed Galaxy, called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zone. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewership finish and the warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show because the power of the warrior commands you to do it. Now the warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team, and you're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Back here with the second hour of Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Our toll-free number is 877-588-9877, option 1. You can also Skype Sir Rockin if you have that ability. We also have an interactive chat room here on the show each and every week, and we will take any questions you do have for a man who, on November 6th, became the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion, defeating the long-reigning Mike Quackenbush. If you've also been checking out NWA Pro Wrestling Fusion, where he won the championship, he's based there. He's also worked for Division I Pro Wrestling here in Florida and also overseas for Big Japan Pro Wrestling. And we're very honored to have him here tonight. He is Craig Classic. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Alan, for putting me. Thank you.
The obvious question that came into our email address at radio@onlinewallofwrestling.com is revolving around the name. Now, without giving everything away, yes, your real first name is Craig. But was it during training with Soul Man Alex G, or was it overseas in Japan? Where did Craig Classic come from, and how much input did you have in it?
The Classic name came from came from when I was wrestling over in Japan, and my trainer Sekimoto Daisuke in BJW, he said that I'm a traditional classic style wrestler. So, I'm just like, I was going by other names and really never really found myself here in the United States, like I was over in Japan. So I figured, I'm known as Craig here. I want to become Craig Classic, that did it for me, and that's how I became Craig Classic.
Now, you do share an interesting hometown, and now it happened to be with former WWE superstar Chris Jericho. How did you come from Manhasset to living in Florida? Was it a family move, something you did on your own?
It was a family move. Me and my family were very tight-knit. Everyone's real close. And, I didn't even, that actually was brought to my attention, because you think Chris Jericho, Canadian, but his father played for the Rangers, and I'm a huge hockey fan. So, knowing that and finding out later that, he was born in Manhasset while his dad was playing for the Rangers long before I was even born. But, must be something in the water, I guess. I don't know.
Now, as mentioned, you were trained by Soul Man Alex G, who helped train many of the Florida stars, including MVP, and some other folks. He was actually a disciple of the Malenko family, but what led you to one day wake up and go, I want to be trained by Soul Man Alex G. I want to even be in professional wrestling.
You know, I started off in Japan. You know, that's where I learned my bumps, and I started doing the squats and all that stuff. And, you know, just I think I learned a tie-up. And then after that, I flew back home. And, you know, I'm like, I want to continue this, you know, obviously. And the only local school that was around, you know, was Rusty Brooks' school. And Foleman was the hands-on trainer there. And, you know, just from the start, you can tell there's something different about this guy, you know. The way he teaches and just, you know, the students that he had come into the school, like Ryan O'Reilly, who, you know, is signed with WWE, and Scott Camati, who was also a very big name around the independents here in Florida, you know, and just see how they worked and watching them and just seeing the things they did, the drilling and everything. And it just, you know, it didn't come easy, you know. But Soulman taught you the right way, you know, and he taught you respect for the business and brought the old school mentality into the ring, you know, that's lacking, I guess, today in training, you know, schools around the country.
Well, go into that for a second there. What having been trained by him and seen folks like MVP, Ryan O'Reilly, you've mixed in with Phi Delta Slam, we've had Bruno Sassi on the show before, and he talked about his schooling. Talk about when you work for other promotions here in Florida and in other regions of the country. Are there particular things that you notice in your mind that you're going, wow, how did you even get in the ring, let alone tie your boots up?
You know, every weekend is an adventure, you know. You know, I mean, you see different people, you know, some people you've seen down the roads a million times, you know, and you see new people, you know, coming up. And, you know, a lot of times I was over in Japan and I didn't, you know, there's a new crop of talent in Florida and I've never, you know, I might know of them by name but not by face, you know. So, you know what I mean? And there's people that I've seen in the ring and I'm like, oh, my God, you know. But, I mean, you know, it should be my business to say, you know, what, you know, where have you been training or not, but I don't like to, you know, I don't like to step on toes, you know, I'm there for a job and, you know, I do my thing. I try to entertain the people, put on the best match possible and, you know, just get on with my life, you know. But yeah, there's been times where I've watched matches and just, you know, I had to walk the other way and just discuss, you know.
And for every great show, there's one that you just kind of sit there and go, well, if we were in another state, you wouldn't even get a booking license to even run this event. Was it Soulman Alex G that got you introduced to the Big Japan Pro Dojo, or was there another avenue?
That was all on my own. You know. You know, I got very lucky. You know, Big Japan at the time, was their business was down. They didn't have no young wrestlers, and in Japan, you have, you know, young wrestlers anywhere, actually. You know, you need young wrestlers to thrive, you know. You need a new generation to take over the next generation, you know, and so on. And they didn't have nothing, you know. So here I was, an American, and, you know, they thought it was good, and, you know, they went with it. And, you know, I did my training. I trained here. I had my first few matches. I've only had 10 matches before I started wrestling in Japan. You know, so, I mean, it was real nerve-wracking, but, you know, once I was there and I was doing my thing and wrestling the guys like Manteo and Sekimoto and so on, you know, I got so comfortable, you know, in the ring that was, you know, the butterflies were gone and, you know, all that, so.
Craig Classic joining us here on Online World Wrestling Radio. The home site for Craig is ProWrestlingFusion.com. Which is run by Joey Machete and some very excellent folks, which we'll address in a moment or two. Take us through the process that Big Japan would do with a guy, even with just a guy Jing, let alone one of their homegrown talent. Give us a day in the pro wrestling dojo from beginning to crawling back into your bed going, God, I got to do this again tomorrow.
You know, I would literally fly in to Narita and, you know, take a 2-hour, I would wait for someone to pick me up or I'd take a bus. You know, I got very familiar with the trains and buses over there and everything. You know, I could go on my own and, you know, from Yokohama go to Tokyo or wherever. But, you know, as soon as I got to the dojo, I put my stuff down and start training. You know, I'd start hitting the weight. You know, then I'd pass out, and the next day I'd be doing, usually we would do like 300 squats. And we'd do like 100 jumping squats. You know, we would do like 300 push-ups. You know, different styles of push-ups, you know. You know, we would do the lion push-up, which is famous by like Inoki, I believe. And, you know, and then going through just random drills and, you know, a lot of different rolls and stretches and neck bridges. You know, and we did all this stuff before we even tied up or even, you know, did anything. You know what I mean? And a lot of it was just, you know, we'd do all that. Then we would end it with some shoot wrestling, you know, some shoot style amateur wrestling. And then, you know, that would be the end of, you know, the morning training. And this would start from like 9, and we'd be doing this for like 1 o'clock, you know. And then we'd have some lunch. We'd have a little bit of free time, you know, just to do whatever, you know, go looking around, go shopping, whatever. And then by like 6 o'clock, you're there lifting weights till 8 o'clock, you know, 9 o'clock, whatever. And then you have dinner, and then you start your day over again, you know.
Now, is this under a contract to Big Japan, or are you paying to be a part of their dojo? How does that work?
I wasn't. They made it seem like I was under contract, but I wasn't under contract. You know, it was just a handshake agreement with the president, and, you know, which later, you know, because I'm not, you know, I can speak a little bit of language, but I can't have a full-fledged conversation, you know, but, you know, later on that hurt me because, you know, other companies were trying to pursue me and, you know, everything for me had to go through the office. You know, if you wanted to book me, you had to go through, in Japan, if you wanted to book me, you had to go through their office. And they were putting up, you know, saying, oh, I was an exclusive talent to them and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, which I wasn't, you know. And I had offers from several different companies over there, you know. So, you know, it kind of hurt me, you know, because they couldn't put this stigma on me that I was a garbage wrestler, a hardcore wrestler. You know, I was just a straight-up wrestler. So, you know, they couldn't say, oh, well, he's a deathmatch wrestler, you know, because that, you know, a lot of companies won't touch you if you just do death matches. And here I was just a guy just going there wrestling with whoever they put in front of me, trying to have good matches. And, you know, that kind of hurt me, you know, with the office handling stuff instead of, you know, maybe myself.
Oh, but, got some interesting emails from the folks at radio@onlinewallerwrestling.com. One came from Melissa Shook of Nashville, Tennessee. It says, had you out through some YouTube matches and wanted to know how much of an influence did Dynamite Kid and the late Chris Benoit have on a ring appearance and actual ring style?
They both had big influences, you know. You know, I grew up, in the 80s watching, you know, WWF and, you know, seeing the British Bulldogs and, you know, here just two big, you know, big guys, you know, baby faces, you know, crowd loving them, and, you know, they're just amazing in the ring, you know. And then, you know, later on, you know, while I was in middle school and a little bit when I was in high school, you know, watching WCW and seeing Benoit, and then, you know, I was a fan of Japanese wrestling. That's why I wanted to go to Japan, you know. I love Japanese wrestling. And, you know, seeing Benoit doing the J-Cups and all his New Japan matches, you know, all those different matches, you know, I wanted to follow in his footsteps, you know. I wanted to be, you know, like Chris Benoit. I wanted to train in a dojo in Japan, you know. That was my influence, you know. And, you know, I speak to, like, you know, when I was in Japan, speak to a famous fan named Masa Jorge. You know, he's been in Jericho's book and Mick Foley's book. He's taken pictures with every wrestler imaginable who's ever been over there. And he always reminds me, he's like, you reminded me of Chris Benoit when he was a young boy from New Japan. You know, he'd tell me all the time. So, yeah, they were big influences on me. You know, I still watch their matches today and, you know, I'm just amazed at some of the stuff they can do, even, you know, though Chris Benoit did what he did. But You know, I look over that. I look at the performer, not the person he was or became outside the ring, you know.
You had mentioned that if you wanted to be booked in Japan, everyone had to call the Big Japan office. Were you, when you weren't, on an off night, if you were in your home city and there was a New Japan show or Hustle or another promotion running, were you free to go and watch the show, or did Big Japan basically say, no, you're us, you can't go anywhere, this is what you do when you're here in this country?
I guess at first they were kind of a little bit strict on that, not really, you know, because I really never pursued anything like that, you know. Really, you know, I was happy being where I was, you know. And, you know, after a while, you know, I became friends with several fans and whatnot. We would go out to dinner and stuff, and we'd hang out at shows, you know. I've had SEMA invite me to Dragon Gate shows and, you know, different companies. You know, I've, you know, been to 01 shows, and, you know, I've had dinner with Tanaka a few times, and, you know, I've been to different, you know, I've been to different shows, New Japan shows, Dragon Gate, 01, NOAH, you know, I've seen El Dorado, and I've seen every company imaginable. I've seen their shows, you know. So, I mean, I've always been around, and it's not like, you know, I can go into, like, another company, like a K-Dojo or a DDT or any of those companies, and, you know, I'm friends with some of their wrestlers there, you know. So, and I still remain in contact with most of them today, so.
Well, that leads to another question of, if Big Japan wasn't so restrictive on you, would we have seen a Craig Classic, or Craig, as you were called by Big Japan, would we have possibly have seen you work for 01 Max or New Japan? Would that have been something you'd like to pursue even to this day, now that you're not a part of Big Japan?
Yeah, I mean, I would love to go, you know. I'm still in contact with companies, you know, and, you know, it's just timing, you know. So, I mean, now I'm holding a belt now that, you know, is very legendary in Japan, you know. So, I mean, hopefully that'll even open up doors further, and, you know, who knows what the future will hold, you know. I mean, I would love to go to New Japan. I would love to go to 01, you know. I would love to go to one of them traditional companies, and, you know, where I think that I could, you know, grow more as a wrestler.
Jimmy Daniel of Nashua, New Hampshire, sent this email in going, friends of mine were on vacation in Georgia, and might be wrong on this, but did you wrestle Abdullah the Butcher for Rampage for Wrestling? What was that experience like? That's like you're walking to Rampage, I'm like, cool, you're here. Guess what? You get the Butcher.
Yeah, that was a very interesting night, you know. You know, it's kind of shocked to be, you know, look at the card and see that I was wrestling Abdullah the Butcher. But, you know, again, Abdullah is a legend in Japan, and, you know, I got some press in Japan for wrestling Abby, and I believe it hit the news. I don't think it didn't hit Sapphire. It hit, the mobile news alert or something like that. They don't have that on their phones and whatnot, so. You know, it made some, you know, made a little, so people in Japan knew that I wrestled him, so they were kind of like in shock. And, you know, funny story, my wife is Japanese, and we met over in Japan, and her mother would watch Abdullah the Butcher when she was a kid, and she would literally be in tears watching him, you know. And, you know, when they heard that I wrestled Abdullah the Butcher, they're like, why? You know, they were all concerned, you know, why is he stepping in the ring with him? You know, so it was kind of, you know, it was kind of pretty cool to hear that, you know, that, you know, that brings back memories, you know, for some of the fans and everything. You know, he's still a legend, and people come out to see him, you know, every time he's, you know, in Japan, and it's amazing, you know.
Yeah, my follow-up question is, did you get to sample any of his barbecue? Because he does have a very famous restaurant in the Atlanta area.
no, I wish. I really wish.
Yeah, when we had Steve Corino on, he talked about the nightlife in Japan, and told a very awkward story of him and C.W. Anderson going to I think it may have been Roppongi or another one of the night areas, and running into a Samoa Joe looking like drag queen and craziness. Is the nightlife as crazy as he says, or is Steve just being Steve?
Roppongi is a wild place, man. It's really wild. There's a bunch of characters there, you know. I honest to God, I hated going to Roppongi. You know, I've just never had I've never had a good night in Roppongi, you know. Always some kind of drama going on, you know. A lot of drunks and stuff like that, you know. You know, I'm more of a, just a chill out guy, you know. If I'm going to go drinking, you know, I want to be in a nice chill place, not, you know, a crowded place with a bunch of drunks, you know, looking to start fights, you know. And they're not saying that there's, you know, there's fights everywhere around Roppongi, you know. Maybe it's just, you know, the places I've been to, you know, and being with Masada and, you know, who's like my brother, you know. But, I mean, we go, you know, when we go out, you know. We're not coming back till like, 9 a.m., you know. But, I mean, yeah, Roppongi's wild, and there's certain cities that are amazing. Like, Sapporo is another party city that, you know, is a lot of fun, too, man. You know, it depends on where you are. Because, I mean, you could be, you know, traveling on tour and be in some country town, and there's absolutely zero to do there, you know. So, I mean, Roppongi's awesome. You know, there's different spots in Tokyo that are great, and, you know, the other island up north in Sapporo is fantastic.
Let's bring this conversation back to America for a little bit. Got an email from Ryan Clark who said, Craig, really enjoy your matches. Wanted to know about the 2008 Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup where you wrestled Gran Akuma in one of the harder-hitting matches I have seen. I was in attendance and have to agree with him. Thoughts on working Gran Akuma and just being added to the legacy of folks that have wrestled in Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup? You've had CM Punk, Chris Hero, Milano Collection AT, Chris Stevens, on you, Roderick Strong. Talk about Akuma and the Peterson Cup overall.
You know, Peterson Cup was a lot of fun. It was a great weekend, and you know, it definitely got me a lot of attention. You know, I was pretty surprised that I was wrestling Akuma, and you know, I've seen a few of his matches prior to it, and you know, I'm like, all right, let's, you know, I saw his style, and it was, you know, our styles were, you know, kind of similar, you know, and you know, it was a match that I was looking forward to, and especially, you know, on a night like the Peterson Cup, you know, it has a lot of history to it, and you know, it's an amazing event, and you know, I put my, you know, guys like Sal and Lenny Leonard and Matt Colley, you know, they go out of their way to make this a special event for everybody and for the fans, and you know, bring in different wrestlers, you know, to mix with the local Florida guys, and you know, the you know, it's a benefit for cancer, you know, they raise money. And, you know, they do such a great job at it and make the event very special and make the wrestlers want to work extra hard, you know, especially in the memory of Jeff Peterson, you know. I've never met Jeff, but, you know, stories that I've heard from Matt Colley and different Florida veterans that have been around, you know, and he's, you know, he's a real pioneer for, you know, the high-flying style that we see today, you know. So it's nice to, you know, to live, you know, make his name live, you know, and let the people know who Jeff Peterson was, you know, and the wrestling of Akuma was, that was a tough match, man. It was real tough. You know, we both were, I was definitely bruised and battered, you know, the next day, but I mean, we gave it our all, and, you know, it was for the fans, you know, and, it, you know, it got a little attention, I guess, online and different places, and, you know, it was good. It was a very, It's another experience, you know.
Could you see Craig Classic working for a promotion like Chikara at any point, or is that not your style?
You know, never say never. I mean, you know, I've wrestled a few Chikara guys now, and, you know, who knows? I mean, you know, would I go to Chikara? Sure. You know, I mean, I know, you know, Big Japan, they've worked some stuff out with Chikara in the past, and, you know, apparently, I guess, from what I've heard, that their fans wanted me and Masada and a few other Big Japan guys to come over there, I guess, when they were doing the Global Gauntlet or something like that. You know, I don't know how true that is, but that's what I've heard. And if it is, you know, who knows, you know? If the Chikara fans want to see Craig Classic, then, you know, I'll come, you know? Just, you know, whoever's, you know, dealing with the booking and whatnot, you know, I'm not hard to find.
Yep, he is available on Facebook and MySpace. We'll get to all that fun stuff in a moment here. Your main promotion that you book work out of right now is Pro Wrestling Fusion, but you mentioned Sal Haomi, who runs Full Impact Pro and Pro Wrestling Riot. You've also worked a little bit for Bruno and Philly and CCW, and you did some Division One PW. Going from the Japanese situation to Florida, I know it's hard to compare, but guide some fans that may not be privy to Florida like you and I are to the landscape that's here. I mean, it's not championship wrestling from Florida in the late 70s and 80s where they're getting 10,000 in Kissimmee, but you're getting some pretty good shows, and we'll address a couple of those in a moment, but take that and run with it.
You know, Florida, it's different from what it was, you know, but I mean, there are a lot of good companies here, and I feel that we don't get the attention that we deserve, you know. I know that a lot of the attention is up in the Northeast and in the Midwest and, you know, Southern California, you know, but there's some great indies here, and there's a lot of great talent, you know. There are a lot of great guys that don't get, that, you know, haven't got, you know, the attention that they deserve, you know, and, you know, it's tough breaking out of Florida, you know. I mean, I was lucky because I had the Japan thing, you know, and I really didn't break out from here, you know. I'm still here, but now that I'm, you know, I went on and, you know, wrestled for the NWA and Pro Wrestling Fusion, you know, that's slowly helping me, and, you know, and it helped me get further, you know, and, you know, now I'm holding a world belt for the NWA. But there, I mean, there's a lot of great companies, you know, Bruno and Tilly running CCW, you know, that's a great upstart company that's been around for a while, and they consistently draw good crowds in Coral Springs, which is in South Florida, and, you know, Joey, you know, when I first came in, when I walked into the door of Pro Wrestling Fusion, you know, I'm not sure of the date, but I was wrestling, I believe Johnny Vandal, and I just got back from Japan, and, you know, I was told by the matchmakers, you know, that you guys are in the opening match, because you guys gotta kill it, otherwise, you know, you guys have a bad match, you ruin the whole show, you know? And that's always the mentality, you know? Anytime you're in the first match or anything, you want to have the best match, you know, and do your thing. And, you know, I've been there, you know, we and Johnny had a good match, and I've been there ever since. And, you know, Joey has, he's put me in the ring with a lot of different guys, like Chris Gray and Jarrell Clark, Mike Tobin, you know, Jack Manley, Dagen, you know, a lot of different people. And it really, you know, it helped me in my confidence as a wrestler, and I felt that, you know, moving on, you know, wrestling Chris Jones and defeating him for the Florida belt, and, you know, it helped establish me a little bit more. And, you know, I really wanted, you know, when I came back from Japan in January, I really wanted to establish myself here in the United States, and, you know, working for Fusion definitely helped that. And, you know, I thank Joey because, you know, he's been a mentor and you know, someone, you know, he's someone that you can learn off of, and you know, he has a good mind for this business, and, you know, he runs one of the top-notch companies in Florida.
And as mentioned, you can check ProWrestlingFusion.com out for that one. As mentioned, November, Fire Rain November, I'm probably getting the name of that show wrong, and I apologize, Joey, you don't stick the Sheik on me, even though the Sheik is a favorite of ours here. Going into that, first off, being told, A, you're going to wrestle Mike Quackenbush, who is an indie legend in the Northeast. And then, secondly, being told, by the way, you're going to become the NWA World Heavyweight Champion by the end, Junior Heavyweight Champion by the end of the night. And as you mentioned, the belt holds credibility around the world. Humbling experience, needless to say.
It's very humbling, you know. It's a great honor. It was a great honor to even, you know, to be in the ring with Quackenbush. You know, he's a legend, like you said, and, you know, he is someone that, you know, he's changed, I believe he's changed wrestling, you know, as far as, you know, he's been wrestling since, I think, over 15 years now, and, you know, he's brought many different styles to the forefront, you know, for fans all across the world, you know, all over the United States, and showing them the lucha style, the Mexican, you know, the United Kingdom style, and, you know, even the Japanese style. He's just made a unique style, and, you know, he's been all over the place, and, you know, it was definitely a good experience to be in the ring with someone like that, and, you know, even to test my skills out against him, you know, and it was just humbling that, you know, the NWA thought highly of me to give me a title shot.
Now, which brings up the next point, being now that you are the junior heavyweight world champion, do you automatically pick up bookings that Quackenbush may have had as if an old school champion like a Jack Briscoe or one of those folks? Do you automatically pick up his bookings, or are all of your bookings outside of Fusion now controlled by the NWA itself? How does that work?
My bookings are controlled by the NWA and also myself. You know, you can contact me, you know, through my Facebook and MySpace and whatnot, you know, but, yeah, I mean, you know, the NWA has got several different territories, and, you know, I look forward to visiting each of them and defending my belt, you know, against all the challengers. You know, it doesn't matter who they are, you know, I'm open to wrestle anybody. You know, I'm a fighting champion, and I proved that in Florida with my Florida belt. You know, there was no one that I didn't wrestle, and I wrestled two or three people at once in one night, you know. So, you know, now as a world champion, I'm ready to defend it wherever, you know. It doesn't matter where it is, the United States, Puerto Rico, Japan, Europe, you know, you want me, I'll be there.
You were there this past weekend at, I believe, Frank Goodman's calling it now, Pro Wrestling Extreme, I'm not sure. Opening match with, first to the, we'll deal with Mr. Goodman in a second, because everyone has an interesting take on him, but, wrestled not once, but twice on that evening, first taking on Milo Beasley with his, companion, Mr. Bearsley, who amazingly has his own Facebook and Twitter, very active young bear. Take us through that, and then, the next thing you know, you're wrestling former WWF, WCW, ECW star, Too Cold Scorpio. Interesting as well.
Yeah, I mean, I was, Goodman booked me on his show. You know, I've wrestled for Goodman in the past when his company was UXW. And, you know, I used to, you know, living in Long Island, you know, Goodman, he would run USA Pro, you know, which later became USW. He would run it in Mineola, which was, you know, about a 20, 25-minute drive from my house. You know, so I would catch his shows there, or I catch one or two of his shows at the Elks, you know, the famous Elks Lodge in Queens, New York. And, you know, I grew up going to his shows, you know. So, you know, when the opportunity came to, when he moved down here to wrestle for him, you know, it was, you know, it was like a dream come true almost, you know, I guess. But, you know, he's always done right by me, you know. Goodman, I can't say really anything bad about Goodman, you know. He's always put me in a decent position on his shows, you know, and it's always been a place to learn, you know. You know, I can't tell you how many, you know, there's so many different locker rooms in Florida, but, you know, Goodman has a locker room, and, you know, when you have in your locker room Al Snow, Big Vito, Sabu, Rhino, and, you know, so on and so forth, you know, Too Cold Scorpio, and there's so much knowledge in that locker room, you know. It's, you know, it's the same thing, Joey, you know, with Fusion. He's someone that has, you know, Prince Iaukea, or he'll have, you know, Haku, or whoever, you know. We've had Greg Valentine do an autograph concert, but he'll be in the locker room. You know, we've had, you know, different veteran wrestlers in the locker room critiquing matches, you know, tell them what we did wrong, tell them what we can do better, you know, and that's something that I think every locker room needs, you know, and there's a lot of locker rooms in Florida that don't have that. They don't have a veteran presence, you know. They don't have a Big Vito in their locker room, or Too Cold Scorpio, you know, And that's sad, you know, because that's something that really, you know, the young wrestlers need. You need to have someone who's been on TV, who's been on top, who's done something to teach the new generation, you know. But, yeah, getting back to him and show, yeah, I defended, you know, I won my belt. I won the belt for Fusion, you know, the World Junior belt. And, you know, so I contacted Goodman, and we decided we would have our, you know, have my first title defense at his show. And Milo was the lucky one. And I defeated him. And then, you know, I proceeded to beat him down, you know, after the match, which Scorpio's protege came in the ring, and I beat him down, threw him out, which brought Scorpio out. And, you know, Scorpio wanted to teach me some respect, you know. Here I'm, you know, this punk, I guess, and, you know, I'm looking for respect. You know, I'm a fighting champion and everything, you know. So Scorpio challenged me to a match. My title wasn't on the line, you know. He wanted to teach me some respect, and, you know, we battled it out. You know, we went up over 20 minutes, and, you know, it was a humbling experience, you know. And after the match, he shook my hand, and, you know, I shook his hand back, and, you know, we embraced. You know, I earned his respect as a wrestler.
Which brings us to an email from Melvin of Orlando, Florida. Craig, I was at the event and wanted to know about Frank Goodman. Heard stories of quote-unquote ticket seller matches. Can you address the situation? And I know you worked for TNA in crowd control. Is there a possibility of Craig Classic possibly in TNA in the future? Thanks, Melvin, for the email. Go ahead, Craig.
You know, never say never with TNA, but, you know, right now my focus is on my World Junior belt and heading back to Japan. You know, that's my main focus right now, and defending it wherever, you know, whatever opportunities come my way, you know. And if a TNA offer comes my way, sure, you know, I'll gladly take it up. But right now my focus is on my World Junior belt. You know, I really want to bring that belt back into the forefront in the United States, and, you know, in every which way possible, you know, if that's, you know, defending it all the way, you know, throughout the country, or, you know, even, you know, how about a J-Cup USA, you know, the NWA has never done that, you know, just, I want to take it a step further than what it was, you know, but, yeah, I mean, Goodman, you know, he's a businessman, and wrestling, you have to be a businessman, and, you know, for guys that, you know, aren't, you know, the most spectacular wrestlers, you know, sometimes, you know, you're going to have to, you know, pay dues, you know, and some of those dues could be, you know, paying to get on a show, or, you know, setting up a ring, or what have you. And, you know, Frank, you know, he's a businessman, and, you know, for guys that are looking to get their names out there or to get experience, you know, he will put you on the show, and, you know, you may not have the best match, you know, but I mean, you're in a locker room, like I said, with different veterans from all over the place who have been somewhere, and there are people that you can learn from there, you know. There's, you know, not only on the indie level, you know, where you have myself, you know, Wardell Walker, you know, Frankie Chiasso, he's been all over the place, all over the world, Puerto Rico, United Kingdom, and he's deep south, you know, developmental, and, you know, he's done stuff. You know, you have Too Cold Scorpio and Sabu. There are people there that you can learn from, you know, and for ticket sellers, or, you know, people, for young kids breaking into the business, you know, that's an environment possibly that they want to be in to learn and get better, you know.
The Spud guy who is on the show normally, he got to step away to take care of some family matters, has a couple stock questions that he likes to ask. I will not ask one of them. I will go to, as mentioned, we had Steve Carino on, who talked about the issue with C.W. Anderson. We've had Kenny King come on and give stories. We even had Booker T give a few, including a sandwich disappearing. Funniest rib that you can legally talk about that either was played on you, you were a part of or you were witness to. Remember, we're PG rated, so the floor is yours, unless you're saving it for a podcast or a book later on.
Well, there's plenty of stuff for a book, but I would say here's the story. I was in Japan, and you know, we were waiting to get in our hotel, and me and Masada went to go find a convenience, and I left my suitcase, you know, with all my wrestling gear in the lobby. And, you know, while I was gone, you know, what have you, I guess Pondo or Too Tough Tony took my boots out of the bag. And I didn't realize it until the next day when we went to the arena, and I opened up my bag, and I was getting ready for my match, and I had no boots. You know, and we were in a small town. I was in the semi-main. It was me and Ito versus Sekimoto and Tatsumatsu Inoue. And, you know, so I was frantic. I'm like, I don't have any boots, you know. I don't have any boots. But, thankfully, Sekimoto had these boots, but he has these boots that are like, they're very short, you know, and I was wearing long tights at the time. You know, so I look like an elf almost, you know, with his boots on. So later, I wrestled the match, and I come back upstairs to change, you know, and Sekimoto comes running up, and he's like, he hands me my boots, and he's like, Baka Gaizen, you know, meaning Pondo and Tony, they had my friggin' boots, and they were using it in the match, you know. Oh, not really funny, but you know, there was a freak-out lesson, you know, and another lesson learned, don't leave your bags unattended, you know. But, yeah, it was funny how Sekimoto said it, though, but, yeah, that's, you know, an experience. But there's been other crazy stuff that, you know, maybe later on I'll write a book.
All righty. The website is prowrestlingfusion.com, also nwawrestling.com, now that he is the world champion. Could be coming to a town near you. Definitely look up Craig Classic through Facebook and also MySpace. And we thank you so much for taking time out for us here on the program.
No problem. It's my pleasure, man.
Coming up after the break, we will delve into TNA Wrestling. Mace will rejoin us, possibly the Spud Guy. Hall & Oates tonight on My Willow Wrestling Radio. We'll be back.
Wanted to know what is really going on through the mind of pro wrestlers? Well, now you can with WrestleBook. It's the only place where you can find out what some of the biggest names in the business were thinking about during pro wrestling's biggest moments. Just imagine if Facebook existed from the beginning. Want to know more? Then log on to www.wildtalkradio.com/WrestleBook. For an inside look into pro wrestling history, the only place to go is WrestleBook.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indies, yeah. All this and more can be found on one site.
Bishop,
Big
Foley,
the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best known internet wrestlers today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christine Hayes.
Flexitarian.
Candice LeSalle.
Christy Hemming.
Jay Lethal.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million-Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith.
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the Drake the Pro Juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is Mace with an announcement from the head of the Wild Talk Radio Network. With the goal in mind to keep ratings as high as they are with DJ Tim Stein and DJ Sir Rocket, the Wild Talk Radio Network hereby releases Maverick and Nick from the network. Just kidding, guys. This is the Wild Talk Radio Network, where friends get together to have fun and make fun of Mav. Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show. So tune in. Listen. I demand it.
Hi, this is the king of old school, Mr. Wrestling 3, a true legend in professional wrestling, Steve Carino. And if all those nicknames didn't really matter to you, it doesn't matter to many other people, because you're listening to the Online World of Wrestling Radio with Al Motion and Janiski.
Thanks so much to Craig Classic, the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion, for stopping by tonight here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. As mentioned, definitely look up Craig Classic on Facebook. He is very popular on there. ProWrestlingFusion.com is the website, NWAWrestling.com, HallandOates.com is the website, because they are providing the music here tonight for us. And as mentioned, they do have a duo project out there. John Oates, I believe, has a solo project out recently that you can find out about through their site. And the Mace has joined us back here. I believe the Spud guy has joined us as well for some TNA news. Didn't want to mention it last week because it was kind of like a blip on the radar, and I'm like, nobody cares about this, but yes, it was announced last week on her Facebook that Lacey Von Erich is no longer a member of the TNA roster. Quote, I've decided to respectfully leave TNA today. I want to try new things, like being a sports host or something. She also said in other comments to folks that she knew she never lived up to the Von Erich name. My response to that is, well, you're alive, and I'm sorry to diss the Von Erich family like that, but you're alive. And there were apparently issues when she was with F Florida Championship Wrestling. She was undevelopmental for them. She had some personal issues why she stepped away. I believe she has a young child. So we wish Lacey nothing but the best. If it leads to an acting career for her, great. If it leads to being the next Erin Andrews, great.
Hey, we know what type of acting career she's going to have.
Oh, hey now.
It's going to involve three of the same letters in a row. I'm sorry, I was never a Lacey fan. You may wish her the best of luck. I hope she disappears into obscurity. She dragged the family name down through the mud, in my opinion.
I'm here to clean your pool. But I don't have a pool. I know.
That'd be totally excellent to see. Maybe not. Definitely check out KFAB commentaries and OWWRadio.com. You can check out my review of, you mentioned, adult entertainment, Sean Waltman. You should definitely go deep deep into the whole One Night in China event. I so do not ever want to see that. And
he hesitated on the hoe bag. I was disappointed.
He was being very PC. As I said, go to KingConSeries.com, buy that. He had no problem tossing some people in the what a dick bag. And yes, I'm not gonna ruin it as to the result of it, but the Roller Joint Championship is back, as we mentioned with Sean Oliver when he was here, and he will be back in the next few weeks to talk about upcoming kayfabe commentary releases. Got one question in. I was very happy that Sean even put one in for me, so it was pretty cool to sit there and go, I know that guy's name far out. Fans have been wondering, you know, where is Mr. Anderson's injury legit? Not legit. Well, we're here to tell you, kids, it's legit. And it's also hurting him in the piggy bank. It not only cost him his world title match at Turning Point pay-per-view, which ends up costing him thousands of dollars. A rough estimate puts his lost compensation at around $40,000, which includes the missed Turning Point pay-per-view, not including the possibility of him having been a part of Final Resolution, which is the December pay-per-view, but house shows that he's forced to miss. It's been speculated, and some inside dope from the folks at the TNA locker room mentioned that he apparently pulls about $3,000 per house show. So do the math. We just hope that since it is a legit injury, that he does not rush back into something. I mean, you gentlemen have been in rings. You gentlemen have seen concussion issues. Is there a problem in either one of you with Anderson, TNA basically saying to him, you're fine, we've got you here, but let's get you 100% medically cleared before you come back?
It's a smart way to do things.
And they're apparently taking out the chair shots to the head. Back, I guess, back's fine from what I've been told by folks that have been in the ring. You can prepare yourself for a back shot better than you can for a straight on. Even, I mean, for fans that didn't see it, he wasn't hit on the head straight up, but he could put his hand to protect him. He was blasted from behind by the Antichrist, as he's called, Jeff Hardy. And his snappy-looking new championship. Oh, my goodness. My 8-year-old daughter walked in, and I thought she was going to go, I want to bedazzle that thing, man. It was...
Nail, coffin, bang, it's in.
We teased the belt last week when Sir Rockin put up some pictures from some folks that were at last Monday's event. But now that you've actually seen the belt, gentlemen, is this the dumbest thing that TNA has done in the past 8 years? Or
not the dumbest thing they've done in the past 8 years, but probably one of the more moronic choices that they could have made, aesthetically speaking, for that belt. That makes the spinner belt look like a legitimate championship.
Ooh. Yeah, but the spinner belt, you can buy in stores. You can buy that damn belt in stores, and now there's one that if you spin the thing, it plays six different entrance musics, man. I was toy shopping, scouting stuff for Santa, and looking, going, I've officially seen it all, man. The belt that plays six different things. Spud, problem with the belt now that you've seen it on TV, or... are you just going, what the, why? My kid could come up with a better belt than that.
The problem starts with the fact that they think that the belts are props now. The belts aren't anything to, you know, to cherish and want to earn. You know, John, and I hate to lay it at the feet of Stone Cold, because Ultimate Warrior did it before him with changing the strap on the Intercontinental belt. But I really laid at the feet of Stone Cold Steve Austin with a smoking skull belt. And it wasn't all Austin's idea. In fact, it was all, you know, you could lay that on WWE management. But the moment you change the face of the belt, it no longer means anything. And they took it a step further with the U.S. spinner belt, which totally just defaced that championship and what it stood for the last 40 years. And then, you know, with the WWE / WWF championship, they defaced that and what it stood for the last 50 years. And now you're doing it for Jeff Hardy? Jeff Hardy! Does anybody else see something wrong with that statement other than me? Jeff Hardy, who shouldn't even be holding that belt.
It brings up many interesting points that he can take there, but however, the time has come for the Spud guy to have to take his exit. You can listen to him on and talk live tomorrow and also post pay-per-view this Sunday. Thank you for being with us tonight. We really appreciate you helping out.
For what little I did, I'm being drug away by the wife. She wants some quality time, so I must go.
Nothing wrong with that. We're trying to wrap ourselves up here as well, but we've got some news that we still got to get out of the way. So thanks for stopping by, and hi to Mrs. Fugg. We like you very much for letting your husband come and play on our playground for a little while.
Peace!
As mentioned, you can find the Spug guy. He has a Facebook page somewhere. I believe he has a Twitter, possibly. Not 100% sure. Are you serious? What is that? Is that what I think it is?
That's the clearest picture of the belt that you can find.
Ooh, God. Yeah, share that with the chat room fans, too, if we still have folks in there that are not watching that boring NXT show and why I'm happy NXT is leaving the end of the year and go away.
This is where everybody should jump on Twitter and read Joey Styles. Great commentary on the show, as he does every week.
He is definitely interested. It would be kind of funny if WWE would let Joey go, all right, you're going to talk about Impact, brother. Go right ahead. Have some fun.
Pretty much.
And we will definitely go into that here, because once again, reminiscent of old WCW, another belt going into a garbage can. Not 100% sure why. I understand the whole, well, it's the law of the Dixie Carter regime, brother, and all that craziness, but and it almost seemed like a game show type thing there for a moment, where you had the Pope D'Angelo's in there, Rob Van Dam, Matt Morgan, and Samoa Joe all out to go to Bischoff, like, but I was here first. No, I was here first. I was here first. And it led to some interesting matches, needless to say, in the event. And it looks as though we're having chat room issues. Do I need to log out and log back in? Is that what I need to do here, Rock? We'll get to that in a moment here. But once again, blah, 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 yada, 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 before you even get to an actual match. And what a horrible way to open the show. And much respect to Rob Echoes, Robbie E, as he's known now, and Jay Lethal. Could have been a chemistry issue with Taylor Wilde and Becky Bayless. This match is actually reshot by the folks at TNA during that taping. Wish it never had aired, but guess once it's filmed, you gotta go with it, Mace. You can't just go, let's go out there and do it a third time, guys. It's not like we're on a Hollywood set.
You never know. With the way shows are taped, you could probably put the same match out there 16 times in one show to get the right one for television. Because, you know, the folks at television, the ones that they're trying to aim at, don't really know the difference.
Ah, yes, our old chat room is back up. Most excellent. So hopefully if you joined us in chat, do apologize for that issue. We'll be back in. I'll be back in there in a moment. Mace will join as well. Don't forget the number if you do wish to join us: 877-588-9877, option 1. You can also Skype Sir Rockin' if you are technologically savvy. The inbox is radio at allmyworldofwrestling.com. Styles joins in again. Oh, the hell with this. The show was taped over 3 hours ago. Oksana was eliminated. Who cares? Okay. I guess Joey is the Michael Cole of that whole setup. And as we said,
yeah,
we wish,
at least he's amusing.
Yeah, we wish the NXT ladies nothing but the best, but, you know, just, I almost would rather watch Reaction. I can't believe I just said that, but I'd rather watch Reaction than watch NXT. And it has nothing to do with the girls. The talent is learning. I'm happy for them to learn, but, ooh. It could get any better, it could get any worse, who knows. Back to the TNA issue. As mentioned a couple weeks ago, the Spud guy had said he would like to have seen 3D go out on top. Well, as we found out this past Thursday, you'd think after it happened in WWE and bombed, and ECW didn't get over, you would go, let's not do that. But instead, Brother Ray jumps Brother Devon. And if you go to spoilers, which we kind of can address, but we can't, let's just say it gets interesting from there, kids. But to Mace, is this just ridiculous that we're going to get Ray and Devin once again?
I figure they're pretty much trying to get it out of their system, because if you remember before Hardcore Justice this year, they had already started the road to split the team up and go into a one-on-one feud.
Over
then the whole EV 2.0 thing happened and they put that feud on hold. So technically this is just them getting back on track. Am I really caring about this? No, not really. It's just really a big bunch of meh. I actually fell asleep during Impact this week.
No, could we see this as possibly a final resolution match, or is this something you think's just going to be settled at the next couple TVs?
I'm hoping it doesn't make it to pay-per-view, because they seem to be doing some sort of we're going to address it next week on Impact type thing. Unless you watched what's the show afterwards? Is that Reaction?
Reaction, yeah.
That actually led to a surprise little thing if you actually watch the background. When Brother Ray is going to assault the little interviewer guy who runs around after them, if you look in the background, you'll notice Rob Van Dam and Kaz working their match in the background to completely break down the kayfabe wall. So that was pretty much that's the only like little amusing moment
that
he had in the feud so far. Yeah, well, what do you expect when you actually try to do all this type of stuff? You know, that they go to do this whole backstage thing. Of course they're going to break kayfabe by accident at least a few times.
And it's weird to see something like that. But then again, Bischoff and Hervey are producing this thing. And for a show that the company that she's not a part of anymore, Dixie Carter's executive producer credit still exists on that show. But I digress. A lot of jumping of people here, and I don't mean in an adult film jumping. Once again, Jeff Jarrett attacking Samoa Joe, this time taking out Gunnar and Murphy, who I may be wrong, or Team 3D trainees. I could be wrong on that one. I apologize to them and their friends if I am wrong. Samoa Joe jumped by Jeff Jarrett, who stopped by the Olympic unemployed man, if you follow the storyline right, Kurt Angle, who magically keeps getting past Universal Studios security on a secured lot, guys. Logic, no logic. Could have really lived without Abyss in the little boys' room with Eric Bischoff, but I guess it's Kevin Smith of Clerks and Chasing Amy likes to say, dick and fart jokes really get you far in this world. Your thoughts overall from the moment you were awake and not awake?
My experience was that I watched the first match and then there was some sort of promo going on. I reached for the remote and fell asleep in mid-reach. However, I did rewind the recording that I did and watched my way through it through drowsy eyelids about half a dozen times. To me, it's gone back to what it was a couple of years ago. Too much talking, not enough actual wrestling. It seems that this is becoming more akin to a Days of Our Lives soap opera drama thing than anything else. Mind you, I was surprised that we didn't get the continuation of the Angelina Love is Going Crazy storyline.
Yeah, I was very surprised on that. Miss Winter was not back, though. Wouldn't mind it at all, because it's better than anything they kind of have going right now for the Knockouts division. I mean, your champ wasn't on the last pay-per-view. Your Knockout division feud right now is still Mickey, and apparently now a Cougar Tara. An interesting characterization there. Maybe we'll get her to sponsor CougarLife.com or whatever it is, the dating websites that are out there. It's interesting, definitely, to see. And I you mentioned Rob Van Dam and Kazarian talking through their match, but I guess it's set up. Overall, it's set up that Rhino was the mole. It wasn't Raven. It wasn't Stevie. It wasn't anybody else. Kazarian did defeat Rob Van Dam after Rhino gored him, and then Cher shouted the daylights out of Tommy Dreamer, who looks to have had a dislocation issue there. Came out with a nice little cast on and said, we wish Tommy nothing but the best here. We're supporters of him. Interesting setup there as well. I like the chemistry of Kaz and RVD. It's always said, Kazarian, I've been friends on and off of him for years and interviewed the gentleman a few times and have come to notice they put him as an X Division star, having won the belt and was a part of Ultimate X version 1 in Nashville. But he's one of those tweener guys like AJ that he can work the X Division style, but he can also do a heavyweight match. And the switch to Fortune for him is way better than being Suicide, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. To be honest, I would have liked to have seen them take the handcuffs off both guys, give them a pay-per-view, half an hour, 45 minutes, and just let them go.
They may be doing that on house shows.
Really. Yeah, well, that's the thing. I don't get to see house shows because they don't like coming to Australia.
Yeah, but they did 1,200 in Nashville last week.
I don't care. It's not Australia.
I know. Write TNAWrestling.com, Australian. Go to TNAWrestling.com and voice your grievances there. Did get to see another interesting match of Stevie Richards and AJ Styles, and a worked shoot-looking Styles clash there. Gets to forward along a storyline. Could have been done better camera angle-wise, possibly, but I'm no Siskel or Ebert, so I can't really critique it. But got its point across. AJ's back as a heel and loving every second of it.
Yeah, the guy who should not be a heel is being a heel. Yay. I'm just waiting for them to turn around and fire Stevie and, you know, fire Raven and fire whoever else is left until they're down to Tommy Dreamer, Rob Van Dam, and Rhino, which seem to be the three guys they want to keep on the roster.
I almost envision a winner-take-all type match coming with Fortune of Tommy versus whomever, be it Rhino since he's the mole, you know, Tommy versus whoever at either Final Resolution or January pay-per-view, with a winner-take-all issue of if Tommy wins, EV gets to come back, if whoever Immortal Fortune throws out there, Tommy's gone, you're all gone, good riddance to you. Could be that way. I'm not a part of TNA Creative. Wish it was. But just something to throw out there, Vinny Rue, if you're listening.
Yeah, they'll probably eliminate them one by one until it's down to Tommy Dreamer and RVD. And that's where you'll see them get their big win or something. Maybe Brian Kendrick will come out in his Jedi robes and tell them these are not the droids you're looking for.
I keep waiting for them to pull that thing off, and he's got Darth Maul face paint or something. He's hanging out with Hardy and Shannon Moore too much. Like, dude, seriously, lay off of it. Matt Morgan continued his winning streak, taking out beer money. Well, actually, he didn't take out beer money. He took out Douglas Williams with the carbon footprint. And judging from the spoilers for TV, different things are coming for Douglas Williams. To be honest here, Mace, and to listeners, I never got the whole idea of Williams even being in Fortune. I thought he was suitable for the British Invasion gimmick when it was here with Magnus and himself and Rob Terry and others, but he just never seemed to fold into that well. I'd almost rather see him off with a Nigel McGuinness. We miss you, Nigel. I'm sure you're out there somewhere, pal. We're sending our private investigators out to find your career, but could that be something in the cards that once Nigel Desmond Wolfe is found, we could see him being paired up with Brutus and Magnus and the Desmond Wolfe character?
I have no idea. Like you said, we're not TNA Creative. We can't exactly peer into the crystal ball and find out what's going to go on with these guys. But personally, I sort of thought that the appointment of Douglas Williams to Fortune was more taken instead of putting Desmond Wolfe in there. You know, because Desmond seemed like the better fit for the group, but he fell out of favor with the TNA brass, and you know, he's disappeared into the wild blue yonder with Perry Saturn, and we need to find people to find him.
Oh, wait a minute. We've got some investigators out there looking. I think it's the same folks who tried to find Cactus Jack in WCW in the early 90s, and we all know how wonderful that turned out. Once again, Matt Harding, sorry. I'm foreshadowing for a couple more months when he does show up to take his brother's career away.
How many days does he have left on that one, dude?
I think we're in the 70s/60s. We're not keeping a Matt Hardy count because, as some of our listeners said, we don't care. So as much as we want to care, I'm not sure. I think we're in the low number of 70s. I know he got liquored up and did an interview with the Hurricane Gregory Helms for another radio program. We'd love to have both of you on here, but there'll be no drinking unless you're Spug, and then we allow the alcohol for Spug. But Jeff Hardy seems to be turning more and more into Chris Angel with video distractions, coming in and attacking people from behind, and of course having to do it on reaction because nobody watches reaction, so this is the way they draw people in. If this is the setup for Final Resolution in December, can you sit through another Matt Morgan, Jeff Hardy match, or are you just sitting Dear Lord Endless in the next couple weeks?
I'm sitting there with a blank expression on my face going, yeah, this is on. I really have lost the ability to form an opinion on TNA recently. It seems like I went through and I was spinning my wheels, you know, saying the same thing week in, week out. And, you know, it doesn't seem to make a difference, so it's pretty much just sit back, turn the brain off, and just stare into the ether as it's on.
And that's the one thing you don't want to do, because as mentioned, we had fun watching Monday Night Raw this past evening. And three days earlier, we're watching Impact, and it's the head scratching of like, ah, who? And the one, you know, it's not rocket surgery, man. It's pro wrestling. Okay, yeah, it's a Paul Cianrob fine friend. Booked it for years in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Anybody can do it if you listen to some people.
It's like I said, you know, I fell asleep during Impact, but during Raw this week, I'm like, I'm glued to the screen, and I'm looking over at the clock, and I'm like, wow, it's like 2.5 hours already. It felt like it's only been half an hour. You know, you're having so much fun that time's just flying by, and when you got to the end of it, you're like, but I want more. This is what we've been waiting for. Give me more. But alas, we won't get another one for a while.
But we will get this, as mentioned, Kayfabe Commentaries is doing the You Shoot with Iron Sheik. You can go to kayfabecommentaries.com. Want to let you know that coming to DVDs now is the Guest Booker series, which is really well done. If you can get a copy of it through legal or non-legal means, definitely check some of their libraries out. The newest one will be Guest Booker with former IWA Puerto Rico Booker and TNA Booker Dutch Mantel. It is titled Exposing TNA, and as the cover of it says, in January 4, 2010, TNA was to give birth to a new era in pro wrestling. They said they were poised for the relaunch that would reinvent the company, and in doing so, they captured the imagination of the wrestling world. But what interested us was the creative workings of that company. So we bring you an individual that was on the booking team in TNA from the day Jeff Jarrett pitched him the crazy idea of starting a new company. Welcome inside TNA. You can join Dutch Mantel and explore the TNA before any relaunches and new directions. We'll get the philosophies and experiences of this well-traveled booker and what he has brought to the TNA table. And while we're at it, we'll see what he would have done on January 4th and where he would have taken his company had he still been booking. We are working in the possibilities of having Mr. Mantel sit at this grouping in the near future. We do have some other folks in line in the next couple weeks that I don't want to ruin it, but there will be some legends coming on this show, and we hope to keep each and every one of you entertained every week. And as I like to say, I'm the luckiest SOB in the world. I get to do this show and have a blast doing it. And so does Mace. Mason's Spud Guy and Omega, Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, have Otaku Talk Live. For fans that have never listened, give them some insights on what they can expect.
What you can expect is, well, to be honest, don't come in with expectations. We basically will go through some of the geek news. I'm sure we'll rant and rave and talk like three crazy people locked in a padded cell together bouncing off the wall. Because that's what we do. We're three geeks and we just talk. No set topics, even though I tried to bring them in, but we seem to go on 6-hour tangents anyway. But it's all in the name of good fun. So come on by tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and listen to myself, Spug and Omega, as we become the awesome force known as Otaku Talk Live.
Well said indeed. Miss Cindy Sin is back. She will be on this Thursday night with Anything Goes, along with Sir Rockin and whoever else decides to enter the dome that is Cindy Sin. CindySin.com is the way to check that out. Friday night at 6 p.m., Nick and Mav have Running the Rope, so definitely check them out. There will not be a TD Top 20 Country Countdown this weekend. I apologize to fans that have been enjoying that endeavor. There is, however, episode 150 of CB Radio with
The Godfather of Parks,
Sir Rock and Subway, and anybody else that decides to check that out midnight-ish here on this network. And as mentioned earlier, this Sunday night after Survivor Series, you can join Mace and Spug and Tim Stein and Omega and Will and myself. I'm allowed out by the wife to enjoy Survivor Series and hopefully not destroy it too bad. Now, as you heard a commercial earlier on in this program, Not only is he a part of this program, and we thank him for being here, you know, he knows he's sitting there behind his microphone going, shut up and stop thinking me, damn it. We're very appreciative that Mace is here, because he is a very busy man, and also has Bashing the Books. Anything you want to tease the fans on that will be coming up there?
The only thing that I can tell you for sure that will be on the show whenever I get around to actually recording it will be the usual fan's revenge on Joe Quesada, otherwise known as the Amazing Spider-Man review. And quite possibly, depending on how things go on Friday night for me, a review of the latest Harry Potter movie. As that does come out at 12:01 a.m. tonight over here, I am trying to find a way to see it without 10,000 screaming little kids that I just want to strangle like, mmm. Anyway.
You love children, don't you?
kids are great until you're in a movie theater. But other than that, Bashing the Books will cover the usual release of whatever I pick up from the comic book store. Quite a few good books looking to come out this week. And, yeah, I'll run them down, give people some suggestions. I might even plug The Walking Dead yet again, because that show is awesome!
Yeah, my wife's been watching it. I just can't, after so many zombie things, I'm just like, another one.
I shall talk to you off air about. But I plan to have this out hopefully by Sunday. I didn't have an episode out last week due to, well, I was out having a life most of the week, so.
Nothing wrong with that, sir.
I just didn't have time to sit down and record this week, so I plan to make that up. There are a few other books from last week that I really want to get to, and I will throw all that together on the show. Only way to find out, head over to wildtalkradio.com, go into the archives section. If you see Bashing the Books with Mace, click on it, download it, have a listen.
And don't forget to check out the newest feature on wildtalkradio.com, that is the WTR's Wrestle Book. And I got to see some of the stuff before it hit the site. And it's worth a look. Thanks to Craig Classic for joining us, the Spud Guy, Mace, they're rocking. You, the listeners, don't forget, if you liked what we did here, you didn't like what we did here, let us know. Radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. You can download this and every Online World of Wrestling show at Click Wrestle. You can download it through iTunes. Special thanks to one of my favorite groups, the 80s Hall & Oates, taking it out tonight with their quintessential song that's really based on a person named Sarah. Here is Sarah Smile. Have a good night. Thanks for joining us.
I can feel you watching in the night. All alone with me, we're waiting for the sunrise. When I feel cold, you warm me. And when I feel I can't go on,